Okay, my name is Ron. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm a recovering alcoholic. Hello. I still call myself an alcoholic. Some people probably wonder. I haven't had a drink for almost 30 years. I think 27, 28, something like that. It's. I just say that for the glory. But anyway, no, I say I'm an alcoholic. Some people say, well, why carry that negative connotation and, or, you know, whatever, or you're cured of that or whatever. I don't look at it that way. I'm an alcoholic, and I know it. I'm no different than if I were a diabetic or if I've got athlete's foot. And I think I think the athlete's foot would be worse, as a matter of fact, but... I remember from whence I came. I know, because of the way I used to live, and then listening to people in recovery. When I finally got recovery, I was in and out of AA for years, and finally got it. And but listening to stories and recovery, and I know without a doubt I'm an alcoholic. I've been overserved, as they say. I've had my fill, and it's almost like society thinks that, you know, you have to drink. There's something wrong with you if you don't drink or whatever. Or like now, I mean, everything south of Newburgh is wine country, for God's sake. So we got all these tasting rooms all over the place. And So it's like if I ever thought, well, if I can just have a little sip of wine, or, you know, have a little beer after work or something. And I know I'd be ruined if I do. I mean, I don't want to ever. You hear people all the time that have long term sobriety, and they retire or this or that or the other, and have a few drinks, and 6 months they're dead or whatever, and they just forgot where they came from, or maybe they didn't care, or I don't know. But I've had a much better life sober. It's not worth the gamble. They say, well, if you're cured, God's cured you or whatever. You know, it's just not worth to me the risk for a few drinky poos to go back to that whole life, that whole scene. And so, I just know I'm an alcoholic. If I think I want to have a drink sometime, I don't. And I've had a good life this way. I've done a lot of stuff that I did a lot of stuff drinking and in my drunk life, too. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, I love booze. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't be an alcoholic. I mean, it did for me what it took a long time to get, you know, but eventually it starts killing you and all that. But I've lived more life sober, you know, and my sober life, and done a lot of things, and wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world. So anyway, and this is how, through recovery, AA years ago, because CR wasn't here, and I got one of these hard-hearted sponsors that got into my head certain things that I had to do if I wanted to stay sober. I would start to argue with him, and he'd say, listen, kid, you can't put 6 weeks together. I've got 25 years, which he had at the time. Maybe you ought to think about what I have to say, you know, because we're all geniuses when we're first sober, and we know how to do it, you know, and yet we keep going back and all this stuff. Anyway, I digress. Tonight, seven reasons we get stuck. This is the end of 25 lessons. This is lesson 25. For you newer people, we do a lesson 1 week, and then we do a testimony the other week, and we just keep going back and forth. And we have 1 through 25 in the lessons, and the lessons are about the steps and the principles and the things that we do here in CR. And if you'll take a step study, you'll get into that deeper, which I'll talk a little bit about and whatnot. So tonight, they've asked, we're not really going to read a step or a principle or any of that. They've asked that we just take a break. We take this next week, and we just sort of meditate and think about where we are at in our recovery. And are we stuck somewhere? Are we doing good? We look at our growth and how well we're doing, and we look at the other. Are we stuck somewhere, or do we need to improve on something? But just to think about the whole thing. And And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how to help you with that. So, seven reasons. So the first one, you have not completely worked the previous principle. What they're getting at here is this is a program of progress. It's not a race. We're not in a hurry. And I found when I finally got it, I tried to work the steps earlier and whatnot. When I finally got it and got it right, I just took the time it needed. I had a good sponsor that was helping me along the way that I could go to with questions, and I just went through these steps and principles now with CR as best I could. And you can go through them again and whatnot, but I think if you get started with a good foundation and a good base, it just helps you to stay here so you can go through them another time down the road and whatnot. So don't go too fast. Don't worry about it. If you're in a step study, I know we kind of click along with the step study, but if you now's the time to reflect and go, well, maybe I got ahead of myself, or if you're working this yourself with a sponsor, and if you're not working with a sponsor, then that's something you need to get taken care of or think about. But that's all the stuff to just look and say, maybe I need to go back and work at this again or take another look at it. I felt I kind of just went over that too fast or whatever, but a good time to do that. The verse that goes along with this, Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Galatians is a good book about spirit and getting away from the flesh, and that it gives all the negative with the lusts of the flesh and whatnot, and then into the spirit stuff. So Galatians is a great book for us. Number two, you have not completely surrendered your life and your will to the Lord. There's two parts to principle three, and I'll read principle three for you newer people. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. This is a 12-step program where we have a higher power. If you go to AA and the more secular, it's all about the higher power. And in here, CR, Jesus Christ is our higher power. And so there's two parts to this principle. The first one is we ask Jesus into our heart to be our Savior and to forgive our sins and to take care of business that way. The second part of it, then, is that we seek to follow His will. We are Christians. We follow Christ. And we read the Word, and that's what, again, the principles and steps, they guide us to daily read and meditate and work on ourselves, think about ourselves, what we're doing, take a good look, but to channel it all through God. And first, He's our guide. And so if you're struggling with that, I think the thing I love about CR, and I appreciate what David said, I've been here about the same amount of time. I had known David in business earlier in life, and when I was starting to come to CR and I saw David, and I was trying to hide from David because I didn't want David to know I was, he's a big business guy. I don't want him to see me here. Here he is. So anyway, we're great friends, and anymore I don't really care. I'm getting old enough to where, and I think I've got it right, and everybody else has got it screwed up. So anyway, I digress. Sorry. Where am I going with that? I don't know. Proverbs 3:5. For good judgment and common sense, trust in the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. What part of your life are you still holding on to? What areas of your life are you withholding from God? What don't you trust Him with? So ask yourself those questions. What I was getting to, this is a safe place, and we don't have to put on a phony front, the Sunday morning look good, and all that, And there's just a lot of, well, if I'm a Christian, I should be this and I should be that and I shouldn't feel this way. And you know what? You can come in here and be real. And you can find somebody with a lanyard, which I don't have on tonight, and ask them anything. But you can be real about where you are with your Christian walk. And if you're having problems there, share it. We want to share it with you and get to the bottom. There's no point in hiding or acting as if, you know, if we're not really getting it, let's get it. Let's work with somebody and become the real deal. You know, what you see is what you get. And I love that about CR, that we come here and we're transparent and we let each other know who and what we are for real. And you do the same, and then we can get to the root and help each other. Number three, you have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. You have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. And this is alluding to not forgiving yourself. You think your sin is too big to be forgiven, or it's too bad. And I actually gave the talk on forgiveness earlier this year, and that was a big part of it. Forgiving, you know, ourselves can be very hard. We think maybe we've just gone over the line, or just, you know, that's great if God forgives us. But I struggle with that still to this day, even just with just things when I can't. I get so busy and I get frustrated and I don't know, seems to be it, and I'll blame God or whatever, when it's like totally opposite. I don't know why we get that way. But with a big sin, I had an example of my sponsor of something. You know, it's easy to say, but it can be tough to do. But, you know, he forgives all of them. There's no, you know, they're all the same in his eyes. And we have to remember that. And if we're going to do the deal, let's do the deal. Bible verse there, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. And that says every wrong. Your sin isn't special, it isn't different, and all that. We do that in our own heads, but we need to let it go. And in any of that, you know, that we can get rid of this baggage in our lives that keep us down, and it just frees us up. The other verse here, so overflowing is his kindness towards us, that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved. Ephesians 1:7. And then, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah 1:18 and Romans 8:1. Remember, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, let's remember this. If that's a problem you're having, again, you know, talk to somebody, let's get it worked out, because it's there in black and white what Jesus does with that. Number four, you have not forgiven others who have harmed you. This too can be tough. When I listen to some of the testimonies and some of the things that happens to us as kids when we're totally have no defense, and this and that, and you know, it's just tough, and it just seems we can get mad at God, and I can see where it would just be so hard to forgive. But then when I hear the success stories of people who the world says revenge and never forgive and this and that, in God's economy it's different. And it says if we forgive, we will be forgiven. And it doesn't clarify, it doesn't put those in different classes or things like that. Again, easy to talk about, you should do this, hard to do in reality. But that's what we're asked to do, and we'll have better lives if we'll do it. And again, this is the place to work on that, if that's a struggle, if you look back and see, You know, and sometimes we don't know till we do take a reflective moment back into our lives and whatnot to say, gosh, I'm still sort of struggling. I've kind of buried that a little bit, but I need to work on that. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. As I say, it's not a race. It's, you know, and that you can do that here. You don't have to, you don't come in here perfect. But you'll get rid of bitterness, selfishness. It says, it's holding you as a prisoner. And the stories of freedom and release from people that have done that is truly awesome. And truly miracles and God, our God at work. Our God can do anything. The Bible verse, 1 Peter 5:10, 11, after you have suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will pick you up and set you firmly in place and make you stronger than ever. The other thing about blaming God here, a little note, because we also can blame God there too, and say, well, why didn't God, you know, he controls everything, why didn't he stop that? And man, that can be huge also. I mean, I can kind of get into that one. But remember, there's God's will, there's the devil's will, and then everybody's free will. And so it can be, you know, a combination of, you know, God is not in that. It's us or Satan tempting us or whatever. But remember, the harm others did to you was from their free will, not God's will. So God's your advocate, not your hurting you or part of that. And I don't understand, claim to understand every bit of all of that. I just know if you do what we're asked to do, that God teaches us to do, it works. Sometimes that's just all, you know, what you got to go for. 5, you are afraid of the risk in making the necessary change. And they've got several reasons here in that deal. You may be paralyzed by fear of failure. We can get stuck. I've been there. I don't do anything because I'm afraid of making a mistake, or tried that once before and this and that happened. The deal is here, we keep at it. We keep working at it. We don't give up. Which is sort of my, you know, I thank God I did everything I did in a way in my drinking and beat my head up. I ran away to Vegas. I went there for almost a year. I was told by my boss, who was a prophet, when I got there that a year here separates the men from the boys in Vegas. So I lasted, I think, 10 and a half months or something like that, and came home just a broken, and I thought I was living the high life. You know, I just did what I wanted to do, and I got away from any authority, wife, kid. I just ran away from all of it and thought I was really it. I just got my teeth kicked in. And I remember that now because I still have the tendency when life gets tough and this and that to say, you know what, the heck with all this, I'm going to Vegas. I don't know why that's in there, but it is. And then I go, oh yeah, I tried that one time, didn't I, already? And it didn't work out so well. So maybe I better just stick to what I'm doing and keep on keeping on and, you know, do the deal. You may fear intimacy because of the fear of rejection or being hurt again. So it just said, move slowly, seek God's will, and set boundaries. There's, again, things to do. Most of us have had that happen, and it's hard to put ourselves back out there. But God, you know, these loves of people, and you know, it's about people really, and we have some that are close, spouses, boyfriend, girlfriend, our family, close friends, and God wants us to have those relationships. Healthy of those relationships is awesome, and what it's so if to keep ourselves away from those, and I know the real close spouse and this and that, but all down the line, and if we just run away from all of that, we're missing out on a lot. And God doesn't, you know, God wants us to have a full, happy life, and that's part of it, people. And so, you know, there's ways to get back into that instead of just, I think a lot of us when we get here, at least I know in the drinking world, I mean, we're, you know, we're like, you know, the heck with everybody. I mean, we're done. You know, I'm on an island and I don't care. I don't want to talk to you or see you or just leave me alone, you know. And that's not the way that God wanted us to live. And a lot of that by our own, you know, as a drunk, I mean, by our own doing, but it's just not the way it works. So you may resist change, growth, because of the fear of the unknown. My life is a mess. My relationships are a mess, but at least I know what to expect. So, you know, we have a saying like in AA, you get in a rut. We get in a rut, and pretty soon we're hanging a picture up, and we're putting in new carpet and new furniture, and you know it's a rut, but it's our rut, you know, and we're just comfortable. Thank you very much. But again, we're not supposed to live in the rut. We're supposed to live up out in the sunshine, and so. But I understand the familiar and the to get out there, you know, and put yourself out there is a risk and whatnot. But it's so rewarding to do the, you know, do those things. We change jobs, change mates, change friends, change locations. And as I say, you can run to the four corners of the world, but when you wake up in the morning, there you are. You know, you're still there. You know, you can change all this stuff around you, but you still got to deal with yourself, and you're going to go right out and get back with the same friends and make the same mistakes. And unless you change, you know, your heart and your spirit and your mind, we do all that changing, but don't work on ourselves. And that's what this is all about, is changing us on repenting, as John the Baptist said so eloquently, you know, change, figure out what you're doing and what you are. What am I? Who am I? You know, what do I stand for? And then change it to something good, and with God's help, and the CR family, if you will, you'll slowly morph into who you really are. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. The Lord is my helper, and I am not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. Hebrews 13:6. And 6, you are not willing to own your responsibility. Some of us, We can play the blame game. I mean, I think we're all pretty good at that. I know in our company, we all look at what everybody else is doing, and we're real good about saying what they should do differently and all that. But then we kind of let ourselves off the hook. We don't look there too often. So you can play the blame game, and you can be the victim, which we are a lot of times, realistically, and you can win that battle, but you're going to lose, you know, the war of life. And at some point, you know, we got to move on. It's about forgiving, back to the forgiving that person that's harmed us, and we really had no fault in it, but God's asked us to forgive that person and grow through it. And that's taking, you know, responsibility. But it's also looking at ourselves, do I owe an amends? Where have I messed up? And taking responsibility for our own actions. That's just such a huge growth when I could see that. You know, it's not, if everybody, you know, if you're always right and everybody else is wrong and you're comfortable with that, you know, there's something wrong because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory and we make mistakes, and especially if you're in this room. I mean, so yeah, there can be things that happen, but we also then go out ourselves, a lot of us, maybe repeat those things to others or whatever. So there, to me, there's the three forgivenesses. So again, a lot of about forgiveness here, which just seems to be a main theme. Forgiving myself, forgiving others for what they've done, and then asking for forgiveness for things I've done to you and to them. But I have to recognize that first. And that's huge when you do the ninth step around here and you actually go out toe-to-toe, belly-to-belly to some other live human being, eyeball-to-eyeball, and ask for forgiveness for something you've done to them. I mean, that, you know, that's huge. I mean, that people just don't do that stuff, you know. But we do it here if we're, you know, working this program, and it just has huge results. I mean, it just cleans the slate. So taking responsibility, are we doing that, or are we just sort of, you know, mumbling along, everything's all right, I'm okay, and not really looking at some of that stuff, you know, our issues, what we've done to others? Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. That was Psalms 139:23. We increase our ability, stability, and responsibility when we increase our accountability to God. So make God an accountability partner. How's that? 7. You have not developed an effective support team. Do you have a sponsor? Do you have an accountability partner? Do you come around enough to get to know some people? When I got sober, finally, I had to immerse myself in AA. It had to become number one in my life. Not my wife, my kid, the job, but God. Higher power in God is large in AA. A lot of people maybe don't realize that, but emphasizes God a lot, and that had to be number one. And my wife, God love her, I was going to a lot of meetings as I needed to. I needed to get just brainwashed. I needed to just be there every day and have that influence and have that around me. And I could not be out in the world. I am too easily influenced, and I had to every day work, be positive, get my rear end to an AA meeting 7 days a week. And so my wife finally said, you know, first I lost you to booze, you're never here, and now I've just lost you to AA. So what do I get out of the deal, you know? So, you know, I talked to my sponsor. I kind of knew where that would go, but I said, you know, you're right. You're going to have to give me, but you're going to have to give me this. And you're going to have to give me a year. And I said, because this has to be first. And if it had, you know, you had to be delicate because, you know, you're going to catch heck. But I said, you got to give me a year, and I just got to get do this AA thing and be immersed in it. I was giving people rides. I would be finally getting into this thing, making some friends and giving rides and, you know, and being a worker among workers, and it was feeling good. And I said, after a year, then we can start making this happen and whatnot. So she begrudgingly agreed. And anyway, but it, you know, worked. I got my year in, and I just did that for a year, and one year and one nanosecond later, Sherry said, "It's funny how people can keep track of time that way." yeah. So she says, "Your year's up." So then we started working. You know, I mean, and rightfully so, and fitting in date nights and times together and things, and making the whole thing work out, and it's there. You know, sometimes we just get like it's never going to work, and if I can't, you know, if I'm not getting this, then they're hounding me, and the heck with all of it, kind of thing. But you know, I think with God, everything's impossible, and there is a way. And if you get people around, you know, good positive people that have been through it and done it before, these things can work. So anyway, that's my deal. I mean, you do whatever, but So you got to get involved. You got to get a sponsor, I believe, and accountability. And a good way to do that around here is a step study if you struggle with that. There's nothing like a step study to get you close with a bunch of guys or gals, and they will promote the getting a sponsor. They'll promote the accountability partners, getting phone numbers. You just get real close to guys, you know, people in your group. And that helped me here. I got my CR sponsor here doing that, and it changed my whole. I've been coming here a little bit, but it got me involved, and it got my feet wet and that type of thing. So that's one way to get the sponsor and accountability partner. And then it's opportunities to get involved: barbecue team, solid rock team, bulletin stuffers, greeters, sponsors, accountability partners. There's lots to do around here. And I'm going to read real quick just some stuff that I wrote out here on my own too, but I'll read these last verses here with this. Be with wise men and become wise. Be with evil men and become evil. Proverbs 13:20. That was me. That's why I needed the year. I just had to be submersed around the wise men. Dear brothers, you have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other. Galatians 5:13. A lot of Galatians. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. Galatians 6:2. Remember, the roots of happiness grow deepest in the soil of service. Confucius say. But that's true. Real quickly, so wrap up, take the time, look at where you're at. If you're newer, a lot of this won't make too much sense. If you're in it at all down the road a little ways, I think it will. See, look where you're at and try to see what you can do if you're having some issues, or look at your growth and just say, I was going to say earlier, Dave was talking about, I've been a Christian a long time too, but since coming to CR, I have a Christian walk. I really didn't have one. This has really taught me how to be a Christian and how to read my Bible and work with others. And I'll say, I might not be a great Christian, but I'm the best Christian I've ever been, since coming to CR. And it has really taught me and given me that whole life. And I thank you and I thank God for that. Attend meetings regularly, not hit or miss. Self-pity, I'm the king of self-pity, but you got to just do something about the self-pity. Comparing myself to others, it's not a fair comparison. You'll never win. You're comparing your raw inside stuff that to somebody else's outside that they've made look pretty and what they want to present to the world. You're never going to win that battle. So we are what we are. If you do the best you can, love yourself. Ungrateful. Do a gratitude list. I have to remember that. We have so much to be grateful for, but I can fall into ungratefulness in a heartbeat. Who are the people around me? Who do I hang with? Who and what influences me? Movies, TV, books, magazines. I started watching a few years back, and I'm a compulsive gambler, amongst other things. I started watching Hold'em Poker on TV late at night. And, within 3 months, I'm up in Le Center playing poker again. What we influence is what we do. And do I ever make, what do I think about? Where do I spend my time? What is the atmosphere around me? What do I do? Do I do anything in the line of service or helping others? Do I ever make amends for any of my actions or even consider it? Or am I always right and they're always wrong or in my way? Are all of my goals in life about self, or are some about charity? Is our job, spouse, kids more important than God and my recovery? Am I afraid that my commitment to God and this program will be boring and lame and my life will become boring and glum? Get into a step study if you haven't already. Reestablish friends and relationships from your step study if you have. Volunteer on a steady basis for some job on Wednesday night, kitchen, greeter, cleanup. Don't just do it for one night and call it good. Give financially. None of us gets paid here, so this is not self-serving. I don't get a dime, but giving, you know, how's that go? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That's so true. What we do with our money, and giving is just something else. If you've never done it, try it. Take the leadership classes, get involved. Look in your small group for a new person that you can introduce yourself to. Put your hand out. You don't have to be a genius or know everything to be a friend, to be helpful, to just say hi to that new person that's kind of scared and nervous. Let's see. You might know more than you know. When I first did that, I was told to do that, and I thought, this is ridiculous, and I ended up talking to this kid for 2 hours. All of a sudden, I was an AA genius. So, anyway, thank you very much for putting up with me and listening to my stuff tonight. Love you all.